Before we go further into the service, I want to give you a report on our trip. And again, as I said this morning, we are truly grateful for your prayers for us during our journeys. I know this is our sixth time we've gone and come back in relative safety each time, but there's not a time that we go that we don't feel vulnerable and don't feel our own weakness and wonder at times how we're going to make it home again. This time we saw changes in the country. The country is changing. There are good things happening in the country. Slowly we're seeing businesses come in. For that we thank the Lord. But there are other changes that aren't so good. The traffic is becoming very heavily, especially in the area where we're at. So then in going through the Painesville area, what they call the red light, I was joking with them, it's a red light area where it has no red light. Now, there's no electricity. All you have is this the light up there that doesn't do anything. And you might take 15, 20, 30 minutes to go through something you could probably walk through just as quickly as drive. Just full of people, full of wheelbarrows going in and out among the traffic, full of cars, and this time also full of motorcycles. I think everybody in Liberia bought a motorcycle from the last time we were there. And you're driving along, and all of a sudden on the dirt shoulder, you have these motorcycles passing you. And you look over here, and they're passing you this way, and they're cutting in front of you. They've obviously not seen what happens in a motorcycle accident yet. And the motorcycles are everywhere. It's unbelievable, the change that has taken place in that regard. So the country is beginning to grow again. There are some good things happening. We thank the Lord for those good things. But among the unsaved, there's also bad things happening. And we were pulled over, I think, five, maybe six times by the police this time. We had never broken the law. We had never done anything wrong. We weren't doing anything different than we did the other six times we were there. The last time we were there, we were pulled over twice. This time, we were pulled over six times. Each time, the police want you to give them some money, and so they just pull you over and hold your car and say you can't go any further. The first time that happened, was that Sam that did that to us? Paulsy got out, met the policeman, got talking to him about why we were here, made a friend out of the man, invited him over for dinner. He came over for dinner, and every time we would see him, we'd just roll down the window, yell to Sam, and he would greet us. And the last time I yelled down the window the day before we left, he said, "Lord bless you as you go home." That was quite interesting because the policemen were not there to bless us or help us. They were usually there to coerce us and try to make our lives difficult. Second time we were pulled over, the police officer was intoxicated. And he pulled us over, said that we hadn't done something, we needed to do something, we weren't going any further. He was waiting for money to be given to him. Our driver went out and argued with him. Paulsy went out to reason with him. And we're getting nowhere with the fellow. He was just angry. He was cantankerous. He was probably drunk. So rather than give him money, they went to another police officer in the area and gave him a few dollars. He came and he, as it were, told the man, "You're going to let these people go." And I thought we were going to have a fight right there in front of us. They were yelling at each other, pushing. And the next thing you know, a crowd was gathering and people in the crowd were yelling, "Let these people go." And so at least the crowd was on our side at that point. And so they let us go through, much to the anger of this one policeman who didn't get any money. And the one who helped us, he was getting a little bit, but not much. The last day that I was there, we were coming from where we dropped our luggage and going to pick up Dave DeCanio for the last meal. And then we were going to the airport, and another policeman stopped us in another area. There must have been a half dozen to a dozen policemen there. Pulled us over and made us sit there and sit there and sit there, saying our car wasn't worthy because it didn't have some stupid sticker in the window. I say stupid sticker. You look at the cars go by, you might see a sticker in one out of 50 cars. Nobody has stickers. And when you see our car and compared to the junk that's running on the road, our car is worthy. And the ones that were driving were not. But he was looking for money again. He pulled us over. And the man who does our driving, Martin, is a very shrewd fellow. And he actually has three brothers who are policemen. So at that time, he called one of the brothers. The brother got on the phone with this policeman, said, "Let him go." And he said, "No, he doesn't have a sticker." And so Martin was told by his brother, "You ask him for the ticket and tell him you will pay it in court, but you're not going to pay him anything." Well, as soon as he realized he wasn't getting paid anything, he then came up with a different plan. By that time, another vehicle drove by. He pulled that vehicle over. He went to the window. The man gave him some money. He said, "Go on." And we're still sitting by the side of the road. But when he knew he wasn't going to get any money from us, that any money that would be given to the courts, he came around, he knocked on my window, and he said to me, he said, I apologize for your driver. He doesn't have any manners in talking to the police. And then he went on further and he said, because you and your daughter are leaving today. He was pointing to Joanne Greer in the back seat. Because you and your daughter are leaving today, he says, I'm going to just let you go. I'm letting you go. Even though he doesn't have that sticker and he should have that sticker, I'm going to let you go. And so he was trying to save face. I didn't say anything but thank you. And we drove off. And they did that, as I said, 5 or 6 times. And talking with the people in Liberia are worried. They're worried that the UN is going to leave. When the UN leaves, they'll be at the hands of their own police. And they're worried whether or not the police will indeed treat them fairly. They're extremely frightened of the idea that the police will actually sometime have guns. Right now, the police are doing their arrests and everything they do with clubs. And they feel when they have guns, then they truly will turn into robbers and thieves, and that they will be the ones who will be persecuted by their own police. Not all the police are evil men. Not all the police are bad. But they're worried that the UN will leave too quickly before everything is set in order and things are changed in the country. Well, that's some good news and bad news. The country is changing. We have no control over those things other than to try to preach the gospel and to witness. Our purpose was to go to hold workshops. I say our purpose. Paul C. And I went again. This is our 6th trip as a team going into Liberia. We were joined this time by David Canyo, who came across a couple days later from Kenya and then left 3 days after we did. And he continued on some of the workshops. Joanna Greer also joined us. She hopped on a plane and came down with us, although she went back by another way the day that I left. So the 4 of us came and held workshops and ministered among the people. Our brother George McConnell was not able to make this trip. He wanted to, but he is building a house, a dwelling for he and his wife, and he's trying to get that finished, and this was not a good time for him. So hopefully on the next trip, he will be able to go. I told the people when we arrived in Liberia, because George wasn't there, that made me the old man, and they loved to call George the old man, and so now I was the old man, and because George wasn't there. But having said that, we hope next time he can come. We held our workshops as we've done it in the past. The workshops this time were focusing not on the confession of faith, we had completed that, but how to preach the confession of faith or how to preach the scriptures. It was on the area of homiletics. Plus, we also dealt with some of the themes that are in separated under the gospel, things that we had touched on the very first trip we came, but had not dealt with at length since then. The very first day that we were there, we had over 50 people at the workshop. And it came evident during the question and answers that one of them was a Seventh-day Adventist and that several in the meeting that we had never met before, as well as the Seventh-day Adventist, several in the meeting were Jehovah Witnesses. And so in the question and answer, they were going to take over the meeting and began shouting questions out. First one was about why we break the Lord's Day, why we break the Sabbath by meeting on the first day of the week rather than the seventh. So we answered that, showed from Scripture why we did that. That it was based on the deity of Christ and his resurrection. And then questions started coming about the deity of Christ as the Seventh-day Adventists that were in the meeting began to challenge it. And we answered them as well from Scripture, showing that Jesus Christ is not only God, he is Jehovah, and that he, as Jehovah God, took to himself a real humanity and that he died on behalf of his people. And if you don't have him as your Savior, that is the Jehovah God, the God-man, that you will perish. Well, after the meeting, one of the ones who was asking questions, I don't think is a Jehovah's Witness, but she had questions about the deity of Christ that were raised because of these other questions. And the lady is the wife of one of the assistants to our brother Henry Munger. It's actually his uncle. He helps run the school. And the wife had questions, and Paul C. was able to clear up for her the fact that Jesus Christ truly is God. And we believe that there's a real sense of peace that came to her heart when she began to realize all that the Scripture said about Jesus Christ. The workshops were very well attended. We had over 50, I think, at almost every workshop. On one day, they were counting those who were at the morning workshop and the evening workshop, and there were 86 people, different people that were at the workshops throughout that day. With that, we asked Joanne Greer to come and to conduct some Bible clubs among the children. Now, the school there has over 350 people. But the school was let out, so we wondered if there'd be any kids that would be there. Well, they rounded up children, and on this day that they counted 86, there were over 70 children in her Bible club. She was teaching them songs, hymns to sing, children's songs about the Lord. She was teaching them Bible verses and teaching them stories that would help them understand the gospel. And she went through this for like 2 or 3 hours while we were having our workshop. Now, I have some pictures of all of this in the back. The pictures don't do justice to the crowded conditions. If you can imagine, about 70 young people in an area around this piano, all on pews, sitting on each other's laps, and Joanne Greer standing at the front with children all around her. You have some idea of what it was like as she was trying to teach 70 of these little ones every day. And they loved her. They loved what she was doing. She had her accordion. She had left it from the first trip, and so she was able to use that accordion to instruct the children and help them in their singing. Most of our time in our workshop was given to homiletics. That is the formation of sermons and then the delivery of them. We didn't deal with the delivery, dealt with the seven parts to the formation of a sermon. And we were dealing with the classic books on that work by Robinson, as well as another man by the name of Richards, as well as the work that our own brother John Wagner has done in the seminary that we have in Greenville, as well as notes that came from Northern Ireland. So they were getting a smattering of all of that to help them. Hopefully it'll be a benefit to them. Every day we added more material, and when we did, we reviewed what we had gone over. And each time now we go back, we'll be dealing with homiletics, that is preaching with them, trying to help them, give them guidance and direction. So we are thankful for your prayers on our behalf. The lectures went on morning and evening. Dave DeCanio did help me some in those lectures, especially when I left on Wednesday. He then lectured on Wednesday afternoon and Thursday, and then gave them an exam on Friday. One of the afternoons was taken in, time was taken to interview those who wanted to be baptized. In the church in Gardnersville, where we were now meeting for the first time in our workshops, there were five who wanted to be baptized. There was one who was 15, the oldest was 21, and the other three were in between. They were all new converts. The pastor had seen them all come to Christ under his preaching in the last 2 years, one as late as just 6 months before. They all had a clear understanding that their sins were forgiven through the blood of Christ, that he was their Lord, and that they had to follow him all of their days. And so with their public confession, on Monday we went to the ocean again and had another baptismal service. We actually found a place a little calmer than last time, so I didn't get baptized this time, but they were able to come out, confess Christ publicly, and we had a baptismal service on Monday. We also had an opportunity to be in all four churches that are really considered mission churches. The fourth one we hope will be considered a mission church after this week of prayer in May. But we were in Battle Creek. I was there on Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning. I was in the Garnerville Church, did Sunday school, morning worship, and communion service. Then went to Battle Creek where Sakimuba was. And we had a service there again and a communion service. Dave DeCanio, that same morning, was in a Sunday school in Painesville, as well as Joanne Greer. She was teaching Sunday school. We had a worship service there where Dave preached, and then he served communion. That's what we did on the first Sunday. The second Sunday was a trip to Riversess. We'd not been to Riversess. 5 hour, 6 hour drive there. The roads are poor. Our driver kept saying to us when I would ask him, what are the roads like? He says, you are going to rock and roll, meaning you're going to rock one way and roll the other as you go through these big old holes in the road. I did not rock and roll because I wasn't able to make the trip. I came down with an intestinal problem the night before, and although I packed to go, it was not very wise to try to make that trip. No bathrooms along the way, no bathrooms when you got there, and I was in a world of hurt. So Palsy led the assembly. They actually brought a van with them. They packed the van. There was one man who was on top of the van or riding alongside the van, hanging onto the window and standing on the running board. And then everyone else in the van, they had a big sign on the front of the van telling them that they were this delegation of the Free Presbyterian Church going to this conference. And so they went and they stayed in an old mission house. I say an old mission house. I think it's just now being brought back into use, maybe just because we were there. I think we had to buy the sheets to go on the beds and the pillowcases to go on the pillows. And as they beat away the flies, they tried to sleep that night in the heat. The next day, they got up and they had a 45-minute walk through the jungle on a path that you had to go single file through. And they came to this church, 45 minutes from the main road. As I talked later to one of the leaders in Painesville who knows of that church, he's from River Cess, he said the church was actually formed by the Church of the Open Door, and then they moved out of that area to go to the main road. He said, but all around that church, while you can't see them, are villages back in the jungle. And he said, in the rainy season, those people cannot get to the main road. And the only place they can go to worship is that church. And so our brother Andrew Joe has been ministering there. One of the ones who is a leader in that church, Philip, his father was one of the founders of that church. And now he's with the Lord. He died to go to be with the Lord. And Andrew Joe, who is related to him by marriage, is now the pastor. And so our group went in, Paul C. and Joanne and Joanna and Joanne Greer and Dave DeCanio. I come up with a name here. And Dave DeCanio preached to the assembly there. The place was packed, both inside and outside, as people came to hear the gospel preached. There's another fellow, John Mark, who also is trying to start a church in River Cess. He's on the main road, and they were able to meet with him, and he made the journey in with some of his people to the special service. This is the first time we have been there. The people did not stay. Our people did not stay to eat the hog that they killed, but they had not the fatted calf, but the fatted hog that they put on the fryer or whatever it was that they cooked it in and then brought it to the people. I have pictures of all of this that Joanne Greer took. There are two stacks of pictures, one dealing with our workshops in the area around Monrovia and the other dealing with the trip to River Cess. You'll see the building that they met in. You'll see the living conditions of our people that sleep in what you would call a hut in this country, even the cooking conditions. And it'll give you some idea of all that is going on by our brethren there. Extremely grateful that we were there with them. And while we were there, we met other pastors. They came to the workshops. Again, the Lord broadening the ministry. Had a chance to speak with them. Many of them came to the workshops asking that they might learn about Christ, learn about preaching. And they were very happy to be there. Some of those will never be Free Presbyterians unless the Lord changes their thinking. But if we can help them, and that helps the cause of Christ and the preaching of the gospel, it is our desire to do so. We're not dealing with heretics now. We're not dealing with those who are denying Christ. But we are dealing with some who, in their ignorance, don't know anything else, and they're just trying to do their best to serve the Lord and preach. We were dealing one time in the workshop, and this man said, I have a question. He says, when you preach, can you... And I didn't know what he said, so he knew I didn't understand. The best I could say is that he asked a question about whether you can be animated in your preaching. And so he came up in the front. Rather than try to ask me again, he showed me. And he was all over the place. You'd have thought he was the Billy Sunday of Liberia, if you know anything about Billy Sunday. And I said, well, I don't preach that way, but it's what you're saying while you're doing what you're doing is the important thing. Some of our preachers are more animated than others. And if you want to do that, give your people something to feed upon, not just entertain them while you're before them. But we had a very interesting time. Our time was used of the Lord, we believe. And the Lord gave us a chance to spread the gospel, to give the word, and to help God's people. While we are preaching publicly and lecturing publicly, there's always a ongoing ministry behind the scenes. There's a giving out of the word to God's people, both as individuals and as groups, as they come with their problems, they come with needing of help from the word of God, coming to you saying, can you give us an answer for this? Can you indeed help? And with that, all of us that are busy, it seems the whole time we're there from morning till evening. But the Lord is with us. He's been giving us grace. He's certainly, by His Spirit, been leading and directing. The flight over and back was just as long as it's always been. I think it was over 28 hours coming home. And we thank the Lord for safety in the journey, safety while we were there, safety while we're on the road, safety when we deal with the policeman, safety all the way around. We are thankful for the Lord's mercy in sparing us each time we have gone. Pray for the work in Liberia. The people have no understanding, really, of what it's like in this country. They judge everything by what it's like in Liberia. And most of the ones we deal with have never been out of the country except to be driven to a refugee camp and to come back home. In extreme poverty, yes, but many of them don't know how poor they are. Great physical needs. Each time we go, we are paying oftentimes for medicine for somebody who's suffering greatly. There are things that we can't change in the country. We tell them that we can't feed them, we can't clothe them, even though we've given them things to help in both those regards. We tell that very clearly to them. Our job is to help them with the gospel as they then minister the gospel to their own people. They are ministering the gospel to their own people. There are people being saved. There are people being brought in. There are other ministers hearing of the ministry and the preaching of Christ through them, and they're wanting to know more about it. They're wanting to be able to preach Christ as well. So pray that the Lord would continue to expand the ministry there. Pray as well that God would raise up a man to go on a permanent basis. That is needed. And we're convinced of that more than ever, that were there a man there who was called and himself trained for that work, he could be shaping a whole generation of preachers and the preaching of the gospel in that country. Pray that God would indeed send forth a laborer into that part of His harvest field, as He has done in other parts of His harvest field, in answer to prayer. Well, that's all of my report. We're going to have the offering now. We'll have our brother Ron come and lead us in a hymn, and then Chris will come and bring us a word with him.